He looked like it, man.
I think he too hood
to be the face of the NBA, man. Like,
I mean, but okay, so but Iverson was the face of the NBA, and Iverson was hood, but they knew that he was the best nigga in the NBA, though.
Yeah, but times have changed, man. You know, I mean, you had him, but then after that, like, you've had, like, the good images, right? You had, what, LeBron for the longest. Who else? You could say Kobe. I mean, Kobe
had a decent. Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, yes.
But you can't stop it. You can't stop it if he stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
See, Ja got himself in goofy trouble. Ja was right there. And then he just got in goofy ass trouble. If Anthony just do the, you know, the D-Generation X stuff and the funny interviews, like, that's not really going, they're not going to be able to really put a kibosh on that too much because the kids going to still support him. But, yeah, I mean, if he just stay out of legal trouble, yeah, I think he ready to be that next guy. I mean, you think about it, you look at what's going on right now. You got LeBron, you know, kind of aging out the game. Same with KD, Steph. These guys finally kind of starting to, you know, not be enough to lift these teams, you know, on their own. So it's time. It's about time for that next wave. You know, Ja clean his face up. He could be right there.
That's kind of hard for me to just say he's the face of the league right
now. Who that?
Giannis from Milwaukee.
Giannis,
He's one of the best, but I just can't look at him like he's the face.
Well, he ain't American born either, so it's like,
okay,
how much will, you know, Anthony Edwards could go further in the sense that he American born. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I was about to say, because you got Luka, but again, he foreign.
Got so Joker.
Right, again, foreign guys. Joker born, too. Like, he don't got enough flair or personality. He like Tim Duncan. Like, you can't deny him. Like, he nice. Is it all get out? Like, it ain't no denying, bro. But the personality just ain't.
It's all the market there. Like,
right. We just saw his personality after he won. And he looked like he was learning to have fun. Like, on the fly. Like, oh, okay. It's funny just watching it. Like, yeah, man, enjoy this moment. So
I think what might kill Anthony Edwards is the city he's in, Minnesota, man. Like, if he was like in LA or somewhere like that, oh man.
He probably will be.
But listen, I just found out that their team's up for sale. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, probably got one of the best players that's in the league. And their team is like silently up for sale.
Well, he might be looking at strike while the iron hot. Go ahead and move on. You know, they say you buy a business to sell it. So he might be looking at, they got some good things going. They got a good, pretty good core. You got a real hot young, you know, player, possibly the face of the league type dude. So you do the math on that, and it's like, might be time to go ahead and get up off of this, man. I'll go ahead and get into something else. You know, that's how those business dudes think. Unless they really just truly, you get some that I think just sports fans and just lifelong, like they just want it. They got to have that just because that's just something fun for them. But I don't know. Who else would be a contender? I mean, and then plus, like, I think what you like about Anthony Edwards is his game. It is reminiscent of like a Mike, a Kobe. You know, you got that guy that can slash to the rim. You know, he posterizing people on the regular. He fun. He funny. You know,
I love the trash talk. That's what made me like
him. Oh yeah, he's hilarious, man.
Oh, I love that.
Did you see that movie he was in? Did y'all see that movie? He was in that movie with Adam Sandler, right? And Adam Sandler was like a scout. He was kind of like a washed-up NBA scout kind of. Yeah. And he found the dude in Europe that he found out there hooping in Tim's and all. He was like, All right, I think I might got my next one. So, yeah, he bring him over and, you know, try to get him in the camps and blah, blah, blah. And then so he go and play, and then they play Anthony Edwards. Like, he had a different character name. He was, like, the number one player in the country or something like that. And he was talking trash. Then he was talking cash money. And then, like, as we got to see his personality in real life, people were like, oh, shit, he wasn't acting. He was just doing him. Like, that was, he was just being himself. And so that was kind of cool to see that come together a little bit later on. I forget the name of the movie. It's actually a pretty good movie, man.
Yeah, I know exactly what movie. I just ain't never seen it. I'm gonna try to check it out. I ain't seen it though.
I think I might have caught it on Netflix or something like that. I'm gonna look up the name of it right now. Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, I know a lot of talk was about, you know, the GOAT talk. Especially because LeBron said at the end of the day it's just basketball. What's y'all take on that, man?
I want to put my two cents in before we move on, right?
Go ahead.
What about Jason Tatum?
He don't got the killer instinct.
Nah. No?
He's got that team. He's got the best team, right? They're right there several times, and he just ain't getting it done. I think people look at Jason Tatum kind of soft when it really boiled down to it. Now, I ain't saying he is. I'm just saying I think that's part of his imagery. You got to have some edge, man, to be the face. You got to have a little gangster to you.
Hey, it's crazy that the best players in the NBA like a four player. It's crazy. Times have changed, man.
The game went international years ago when they started with Yao Ming and you
Wimby
know.
Wimby is coming.
Tatum too. I don't want to say this, you know, to offend anybody. Tatum is too light skinned. Like, he too light skinned. in the heat of the moment, it's like you going to attack Tatum before you attack somebody, dog. He gonna be like, oh, I'm going right at that red boy right there. Yeah, I'm going there. He just ain't got it. You just said it, man. Best team in the NBA this year, and they still don't look like they dominant. And they playing an underachieving Heat team right now.
The name of that movie was Hustle. In case y'all want to check that out. That was a good little movie, man. It's a good little movie.
Yeah, but when you start talking about it, like everybody want to have this go talk about it. He got the most points. He's played for 21 years. And I'm telling everybody, I said, well, yeah, if he's the GOAT of longevity, then you're going to say something like that. But he's not the GOAT. Because even it's been spur moments throughout his 21 career where he wasn't the best player in the league. You know what I'm saying? So you can't be the GOAT if you got some years where somebody else is better than you. Why are you playing still?
I mean, the argument, I guess, would be he's still top 10 at this point. He's still a top 10 guy. I'll be honest with you, man. I took more offense to, you know, it's kind of tough. And I've never been the harshest LeBron critic. But your GOAT can't be talking about it's just basketball. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a cop out. And it's like, how you gonna be the greatest, bro? And you like, you know, it's just basketball. It's like, wait a minute, dog. It's supposed to be your heart, your passion, your like, you gotta have that competitive edge, man. You gotta have it to be the GOAT, I think. Like Tom Brady the GOAT, because Tom wanted it more than anybody. He wanted to win. He wanted all the records. He never wanted to be anything less than the best. And I don't think you'll ever hear Tom Brady be like, oh, it's just football. He's like, nah, this is everything, bro. Yeah. And we put everything into it.
Yeah, none of those guys who got that killer instinct is going to say, oh, it's just another game or it's just sports. They don't be like, man, we got to figure out how to win.
Right, yeah, we got to figure out how to come back from.
Yeah, man, this ain't, you know, because at the end of the day, his legacy, you know what I'm saying? What do you want to be remembered as your legacy? Do you just want to say, well, he's the greatest teammate ever? he's got the most points ever. Or do everybody want to say, yeah, that was the baddest motherfucker on the court?
On the court, yeah. Court. And that's the difference. I agree. That's the difference, man. Like, because like I said, you nobody's short Tim Duncan, but Tim Duncan ain't never in none of these conversations. Never. Nobody ever says Tim Duncan the GOAT. And honestly, he got just as good a claim as better or close as LeBron. But the difference is, too, like, even LeBron got more killer than Tim Duncan. Tim was just a cool, like, I don't, like, Tim definitely came off like, he didn't even like basketball. He just was like, he came off like, I'm just good at it, so I do it. And, you know.
Yeah. The best power forward. I mean, that ain't even no debate. I don't. If anybody thinks somebody else better than Tim Duncan at power forward, then they don't need to talk about sports.
I think, and that's what I get with Kawhi too. I get Kawhi just like, hey, I'm good at basketball. So I just play. All right. Kawhi has like no personality. Like his commercials, he didn't say nothing. Like the little we got to LA, the little commercial with the Cadillac and all that. Like he said nothing. It was just a video. It's like. I don't know.
I'd like to hear. See, that's the problem. None of us in this group got LeBron goated like that. Like,
yeah, nah,
I think he's the greatest of his generation.
I think he's the greatest all around player as far as scoring, passing, and rebounding. I think he's the greatest of that. But the greatest player to me, I mean, I grew up in the MJ era, man. It's hard for me to go against MJ.
My whole argument with that is, you know, like I was telling my brother on the other day, I said, well, it's kind of hard to even put LeBron in the category because if more than 70% agree that Michael Jordan is the GOAT, then you have Kobe Bryant, who everybody says is almost the exact same as Jordan. It's like, well, he has to be the second, you know what I'm saying, mentioned in the GOAT talk, because if he's the closest thing to Jordan, then that's like GOAT.
But right. And then that's why that go back to our earlier conversation with Anthony Edwards.
But see, but actually, you got to think about it. People don't put him in that conversation because of Shaq. Them years that he had with Shaq.
Kobe with Shaq. He just had a nigga who just got 30 points. That's it.
I hear you. But my thing.
Can't rob him of that, though. Go ahead.
But my thing is, without Shaq, do you think he win the first three titles? I don't.
Probably not.
Does Jordan win without Pippen?
Probably not.
No, but, he don't. That, Jordan don't win without Pippen, bro.
He don't, but I think that Shaq had more of an impact on his team than Pippen had on the team that Jordan was on. I mean, you look at the scoring. Man, Jordan was averaging like 33, and everybody was like at 10 points, 9 points, 9 points. But Shaq and Kobe, it was always either Shaq was like at 30, Kobe was at like 27, or this was at 29 or 28. It was always something like that. Yes, he had Pippen, but Pippen was more of a – of what LeBron Pippen is today, just not Pippen, the score yeah. LeBron is.
Pippen was probably still getting 24. He was rebounding, assisting. Like, yeah, he was more like LeBron. But, like, Jordan had to have Pippen to win them titles. You got to have somebody help you out.
Yeah, he needed somebody to go play some defense when he was, man, look, I'm tired right now.
Pippen and he was, yeah, he made all NBA defensive teams year after year after year.
Yeah, so.
So, I don't never like to rob them. I know people try to throw Shaq in there, but I'm just like, okay, well, it was just two greats, you know. But Pippen was a great, too. And we talked about Pippen as a great during that time. Like, it wasn't like we was talking about Pippen like he was chump back then. We talking about Pippen like one of the best players in the league. So, yeah, when people try to throw that up about Kobe, I'm like, nah, because I think you subtract Pippen and it's the same thing. They probably won a lot of games. And get in some of these conversations, but I don't even think they make like Jordan ain't going to the NBA Finals without Pippen. He never did.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't.
He never did. And then Kobe did it again with Gasol and
Lamar Odom and a bunch of other players, role players.
Yeah, I mean Gasol was nice at the time. He was a top 10 player at that time. Probably or top 15 player somewhere up in that range, so that kind of negates the Shaq argument right there because he came back and did it with somebody else.
Look at his role players. He also had Lamar Odom, he had Andrew Bynum, right? We can say what we want, but Andrew Bynum was not bad when he was on the Lakers team. He still had Derek Fisher. Everybody know Derek Fisher was that guy. He was what Robert Horry was to them earlier. Like, he hit the big shots. You know what I'm saying? You can count on him. I think he had a more balanced team when he won the championships with Gasol in them than he had when he had Shaq.
But that's so what he I mean. Did it two different ways.
Yeah. So my whole argument of the GOAT is when Jordan first came to the NBA in 1984, the NBA was consisted of Magic and Larry Bird. Those was the best players. You know, Dr. J was still there. You know, they had Kareem. But Magic and Bird was the guys. When Jordan came in 1984, Jordan immediately became the best player in the NBA. And he was that until he retired. When LeBron came into the NBA, he was not the best player when he was in the NBA, when he first came in. It took him some years to become the best player. And then throughout his career, some years here and there, other players were still better than him or became better than him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying you can't compare. Because there was nobody better than Jordan when Jordan was in the NBA. But his players, you could say, that was better than LeBron while he's in the NBA.
See, for me, like I would always say like this. When it comes to GOAT status, right, when you're talking about greatness, when you go to greatness, you got to go to accolades. You got to go to trophies. You got to go to titles that have been handed to, well, not handed, earned, titles that you earn, right? When you talk about the best, we could just talk skills. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I ever watched. Now, Mahomes is creeping up on that and about to take that from him in my mind. Probably within 2 to 3 more seasons, I'm going to say he's the best quarterback ever. Why? But he can't be the GOAT because he don't have the accolade that a Tom Brady had. Tom Brady has the championships. That's the bottom line. And say what you will about Belichick and the things that he did and how it helped out. All of it had to work hand in hand. All of it worked hand in hand, and it worked out. But you cannot deny the greatness because greatness is etched in stone. So when you talk about greatness, you got to go to a guy that has the accolades. And LeBron's got plenty, but we all know the key is them rings, the titles. Got to be the titles. So you have to look at a Bill Russell. Yeah, the league was different then. Well, you play the best of what you got to play. I mean, that's just what it is. He can't change that. Nothing he can do about that. Bill Russell wasn't the first tall guy to play basketball. So, you know, you got to give him credit for being the athlete that he was. Same way you got to go to, you know, every era, it changes up a little bit. So with Jordan, you know, he played who he played. Are there better athletes today in this game? Sure, absolutely. That's just the evolution of the game. You got more athletic, more gifted players these days. That's one reason the scores is out of this world. That and the defense is different. But yeah, like LeBron is goated in his own way. But yeah, like I don't know, man. As much as I am a supporter of LeBron, I don't really want to hear it's just basketball at the end of the day. Like that's like a loser mindset, loser response. Falling short. You say we fell short, man. You know, we gotta get better. Tell me that. Don't tell me it's just basketball. That to me just that don't sound like a champion talking.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it kind of sounds like you probably don't care,
right? And you like, which is what they said when he went to LA to begin with. You know, it was about business, and he'd been doing a lot of business, and you know, then you go say that it's like, oh, this is really, really about business.
Yeah,
it's really, really about business, and now you know, trying to get Bronny in the league with him so he can get that. So they can be the first father-son duo. That comes into play now as well. And that's money. So, you know, him and Jeannie Buss, they tight, man. So that might even happen, man. We'd be surprised, you know. Bronny might go ahead and come on in the league with the Lakers. You know, somewhere late, undrafted free agent or something. They might just make that happen, man. So, anyways. Yeah, I agree. I think Edwards might be the next face. And LeBron just took another shot in his at his legacy, saying something like that. Can't really rock with that, man. Anyway, and I Jordan my GOAT, and he definitely wasn't ever my favorite player. That's just that I ain't got no choice. I watched it. I watched what he did. Barkley was my favorite player.
Anything you just said, like Jordan is the best I've seen, and he's not my favorite player. People think because I put him at such a high caliber that he's my, no, he's never been my favorite player.
No, a lot of us do that because he did what he did to our teams.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't know like, who Jordan is like shit.
Yeah, like we might have hated him, but you had to respect him. You're like, man, this motherfucker good, yeah, man. When it boiled down to it, and y'all got to go through that, man. You like, oh shit, he gonna pull a rabbit. I don't care what you think, man's gonna get this done, and that's just the bottom line. And I can say, as much as I like LeBron, I don't think people say that. I don't think they say, oh shit, it's LeBron, we ain't gonna get this done. It's gonna be a good game. It'll be tough. When you knew you was playing Jordan, you just knew it was something going. He was going to stop you. He was going to stop your team.
Don't let him have the ball last possession because you might well, damn.
Shit, last quarter. Anytime Jordan knew he had to take over, he was just taking over. Period. It ain't had to be the last shot. It could be third quarter. All right, look, man, I'm going to score. Y'all just get out of the way, get some rebounds, and get back on defense. And he would just do that. That's just what it was. And you knew it was coming. There's nothing you could do about it. You knew this was coming. So, you know, never was my favorite player, but the guy was just it, man. Hate him or love him, he was it. Anyway, y'all boys want to talk a little football?
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Yeah, let's get into some crack.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricanes barbershop spot. Here to kick it about football. Well, we're Wildcats. Y'all old heads relate. Y'all young boys, y'all probably don't know nothing about that, boy. That was one of Wesley Snipes' first movies, boy. With Goldie Hawn. I think the movie was called Wildcats. It was an old joint, man. Crazy, crazy old joint. I have to look that one up, too, just to double check, but I'm pretty sure. It's called Wildcats. But, yeah, man, we back at your boy, Larian. Fresh off of last week's show, fresh off of the NFL draft. Disappointing night. I don't know. Wasn't disappointing to me. exciting night. You know, always love to see these guys get to their dreams and make it. And so we're going to get into a little bit of that, a little bit of portal talk. But before I get ahead of myself, man, got two of the finest with me today, the real field general, my main man, X Faith. What's up to the people?
What's good, people, man? We here. We back. You got portal talk, got the NFL draft. I'm kind of mixed emotions with that, you know, because I understand it's a business at the end of the day. You have to audition yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do well, guess what? You don't get the phone call. Plain and simple.
That is. And last but not least, D-Rob or Rob D, whatever you want to call him. It go both ways. No homo, Paul. I might have to edit that. I'm going to tell him. Come on. Mom, you might have to take that out. Say what's up to the people.
Yo, what's good? Man, that's a wild statement. Yeah. What's up,
y'all? That was crazy. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, yo, that's crazy.
And it's starting to warm up here in Virginia, man. It done hit the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but the crazy part is I'm going to be in Miami next weekend, so I already know it's burning up down there.
Oh, man. What brings you back to the city?
The funeral. Everybody talk to you about that.
That's right. Yeah.
Passed away. So yeah, I'm gonna be out the loop probably the next 2 weeks after this because you know I got to deal with that.
No doubt. Condolences once again, man.
Appreciate you.
All right, man. Well, we're recording Sunday morning. It's the day after the last day of the draft. You know, draft go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, you know, I guess we'll get a little bit into, we could get a little bit into our pro teams and how we feel about, you know, how they did. And we'll talk about it as it relates to the Canes, obviously.
I'm going to be out this segment. I refuse to talk about my team.
I'll be honest with you. I did not pay a ton of attention. This is probably one of the least plugged in I've been to the draft in a little while. But I did, you know, I caught it. I was seeing what Canes was going where. And, I did, you know, tune in for the 49ers picks. You know, just keeping up with my squad as you know, as we tend to do. But ex a Cowboys fan, clearly not very happy with the selections that they made. Let's go Canes first, right? So as it pertains to the Canes.
Well, we have four guys get drafted, right?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. First guy off the board was as expected. The first guy we thought would come off the board. Was Cam Kitchens. Congratulations to him. He went in the third to the LA Rams. I hate that as a Niners fan. You know, I was like, man, I just hate when my Canes go to Seattle or LA. I don't think they really go to zona too much, not in a while. Arizona,
Entry and Roll, I think, with Arizona.
Calais. Edge end up over there. But, I mean, in recent years, they ain't really been messing with us too tough. Nah. So, it ain't been a big issue. But, yeah, I'm like, man, I hate to beat up little bro twice a year. You know, but, hey, business is business. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, it is what it is. Nah, it was what it was. You're Kane forever. But now you're on enemy territory, so I actually was kind of hoping we might take a look at him at safety. You know, because we did need some safety help. We ended up getting a safety, but I thought Cam might help us out a little bit more, being, you know, more that field safety versus the, you know, these kind of deep in the box type guys. But yeah, you know, I guess some of the talk around everything, I guess, was expectations versus reality. Or, you know, I think a lot of this stuff starts because you get this preseason hype, right? And in the preseason, there was a list, or maybe one or two lists I saw going around that had like five Canes in the first round, potentially. And it was James Williams, Cam Kitchens, Javian Cohen, Leonard Taylor, and who was the other guy that
Kobe Young was the other one, but that shit didn't pan out.
Oh, well, yeah, Kobe on another team. So at least four, right? So maybe possible four in the pop. But then the season plays out. And, you know, we have what was the season record? 7-5?
Seven and five
season. And then I'm like, okay, well, what y'all expect? Like, I'm a little flabbergasted if you think we should have had more guys. Cause I'm gonna be pissed off with 7-5 and we got eight draft picks, especially if they going high. To me, that speaks volumes to just lack of coaching, lack of execution. There's no way you should have, like, you know, them boys up north, they had a nice class. They had a nice season. They had, I think, I want to say maybe 10 guys go. 10 total got drafted. Yeah, that's, you know, with a 13-1 season, it should look something like that. And especially a lot of those guys were older guys that they had poached from other programs, you know, and just combine them on one team. To you know, these guys would have probably been NFL picks anyways. They came to Florida State as a collective to try to, you know, win a title. So that was their game plan. They came and said, hey, you know, we go to the lead, but it'd be cool to get a title on the way out too. So, you know, I don't know. Y'all got any say things, you know, want to speak on that at all as far as like fan expectations maybe being unrealistic or, you know, were you one of those people that thought it should have been more?
I get what everybody's saying, you know, the early preseason, you know, Cam, best safety in college, just had an All-American year, James, all a pre-conference safety, Leonard Taylor, the talent level. I get those three. Javion Coleman, I get probably maybe second, early second, third. I get it, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, when you got to be good on that. You got to play, have a good season on that football field. You know, you go 7-5 and everybody start questioning, well, why are these guys so highly, you know, on the board?
When they right, like why are they touted? Yeah.
Yeah, well, they went 7-5, you know what I'm saying? And then go to the combine and you don't do what you're supposed to do. You're like, yeah, so.
We see. Some of it was hype. Yeah, some of it was pure hype.
Yeah, you know, so again, like I say, I get it. I know why Cam slip. I know why James slip. I know why LT slip. I know why Javion slip. I know, you know, Matt Lee, he got picked up. Jaden Davis was the one who was more of a surprise. I was, oh man, okay. I thought he'll be like seventh round or not picked up.
You know, he ended up going like what, fifth? I think the Cardinals got him, matter of fact.
Seventh. He went to seventh round also.
Seventh, okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these GMs get, you know, they could get fired for picking people that's not panning out to their team. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes they take the safer bet. And this is what it is. But I know that most of the guys who did get drafted and the ones who did get undrafted will make a team because the guys are good. It's a lot goes into it. You know what I'm saying? But
you're right. And real quick, I know D-Rod, you want to say something real quick, but real quick, the majority of NFL rosters are made from the fourth to seventh round. So that's where you do your real work as a GM. This is where you find your real diamonds. You go high risk, high reward in the early rounds, and then later on, you usually kind of look for great traits and some production. And that's where you make your bones at. That's where you really bake your bread at. So go ahead though, bro.
I was about to say, man, like they need to like really, I don't know what advice they're getting. Like the only one, to be honest, I think Cam should have left, regardless. You know, I think the only thing killed him was that 40 time, which a lot of people say, man, if you'd have waited and just ran it at the pro day, because that pro day, you know, he ran like, 4.53 or something like that, 4.54. His time was a lot better. So I think that he probably would have got drafted a little sooner. But at the same time, the other guys, man, I think LT should have came back. I think James Williams kind of got caught up in the scouts, you know, basically like hovering over him at the last pro day and was like, oh man, how big are you? What's your size? What's this, you know? And Alonzo Highsmith was telling him like, man, you should transition to linebacker because that's probably going to be your money spot. And I don't think that he's going to be a successful safety in the league. I don't think because he's just too big and I don't think he has the speed to keep up with these guys that's taking these deep routes, you know? I mean, look at Ray Armstrong, who we had. He was similar size, you know, like 6'4", 6'5", you know, highly touted. Didn't make it at safety, but as soon as you get that linebacker, what happened? Spent 8 years in the league. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he probably should have came back and was like, yo, you know what? All these coaches telling me to come down in the box and, you know what I'm saying? Let me give it a shot at this. Let me see how this goes, you know? Same thing with LT. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say funny part is they got him listed at linebacker as the, yeah, as that's the draft.
When he got, yeah, when he got announced, as a linebacker. So that should have told you. And with LT, man, you didn't. I think he got caught up in the hype. You know what I'm saying? Because even the Newton kid from Illinois, who they said was like the number one D tackle, he didn't get drafted till like late second, early third. You know what I'm saying? They didn't value those positions, but he should have said, you know what, this year it wasn't what I expected. Let me regroup. Let me get focused, and you know, let me run it back.
Pour it all in.
Yeah.
Pour it all in, man. He went from projected first rounder to undrafted free agent. Signed with the Jets.
Which is good for him because he has.
Yeah, it could be a good spot, right?
Yeah, because he had Quinnen Williams and Javon Kinlaw. You know, those are the two starting D tackles. Those are the two that's in front of him. So he can learn something. You know, Quinnen Williams, a Alabama project, you know, from the Alabama tree. He ain't no slacker. He ain't going for none of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, hey,
he was what he was supposed to be. He was what he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So it's like, exactly. All right, you want to see what it takes. Here you are now. You ready to do the work? Because you really didn't take advantage of the opportunity you had to make millions like I did. I made millions. I got picked the first day. Well, he was like a top five pick. And I love kid coming out. That was the difference, too, when you look at, say, James Williams. I kept waiting. I spoke on that a lot the previous season. I was waiting for greatness out of him. I never saw greatness. I saw good. I saw a good player. I saw a solid player. I was like, man, but where is that greatness? And I think the problem, goes back to what you were saying, D-Rob, is that greatness wasn't going to be found in safety for him. He could have been a great linebacker. He could have been kind of like, you know, he reminded me of the frame of the Floyd kid that played at Georgia. Leonard Floyd. Yeah, my Niners just signed him. And he was like a top 10 pick himself. And you know, I think in his youth, some of his stubbornness got in his way. And cost him a lot of money because he was so dead, said he was going to be a safety. Same thing, for, like you said, mentioned with Ray Ray. And when I met Ray Ray, it was ridiculous to me that this man ever played safety. That dude is huge. He did not look like no kind of damn safety. He almost looked like a DN. I mean, he's a tall, wide-frame kid. Like, this dude, when I met him, I was like, this man is huge. Talking about a damn safety. He looked like a defensive end.
And crazy part is you bring up Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd played for the Bills last year. He had 10 sacks. That's an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, like, he
was
come on,
cut,
man.
And that's what I'm saying. James was cut from that same thing. But I think, you know, some of his youth, some of his stubbornness, he decided, you know, he wanted to stay at safety and probably did it a little too long. A couple of other moves. You had Branson Dean signed with the Bills. Undrafted free agent, a guy that, yeah, we expected to get drafted, did not end up getting drafted. Actually, kind of, we thought he might go high. The lineman, Cohen, Javian Cohen, is going undrafted free agent to the Cleveland Browns. KJ Cloyd signed undrafted free agent with the Vikings. Matt Lee. Some people, I got why Matt Lee left. Matt Lee's getting a little bit long in the tooth. And unfortunately for him, he's only a center. He doesn't have, especially at the next level, he doesn't have position mobility, which limited his draft stock. So, you know, people say come back. Yeah, come back for us. But for him, it wouldn't done him no favors. He's never going to center ain't a highly valued position. Even guard is, you know, so-so, depending on how great a guard you are. That means we do get first-round guard. But knowing he was only going to be a center at the next level for sure, it just made sense for him to go ahead and move on and start making some money. You know, unless it was just about, yeah, I can make more money staying one more year in Miami. Which I don't know, you know, I don't know his pockets like that. I don't know what his situation was. But, you know, he ended up getting drafted by Cincinnati. You know, I don't know how great a position that was for him to land in particular. But it wasn't much more for him to do at the collegiate level. It was it did make the most sense for him to go ahead and go pro. Selfishly, yeah, I would have liked to have him back. You know, we mentioned James Williams drafted to the Titans. Jaden Davis, who, you know, I like the pick. I thought he was a guy that may have slipped out to into undrafted free agent, but man, he made plays for us a lot last year. Like, he was making plays. He's a smaller guy, which is probably is his only knock. But when you put him out there, man, he was just being a playmaker. So to see him get drafted was awesome for a guy that just went out there and made production. It went the way it kind of should have went to at least get drafted, even though he's small. And then who else we had?
Tyler Harrell got picked up by somebody.
Yeah, Harrell got picked up by the Jets as well.
Yeah.
Leonard the Taylor.
The only one he picked up was Takori Couch.
Okay, Couch ain't got picked up yet. Al Blaze Jr., since, you know, pretty mostly was Kane, 4 years with us. He also went to the Jets. I just saw that, so I made quick mention of that. Yeah, so the Jets messing with the Canes kind of heavy. We want to see what's going on over there, see if there's any place for them in the league. Let me see, anybody else we forgetting? I think that's everybody that was either drafted or signed an undrafted free agent agreement. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, all in all, I thought for the season we had, these guys kind of ended up where they should have been. Cam's a little bit, you know, undersized for today's game. And like you mentioned, the 40 time was a little nick on his game. So I knew that was going to end up sliding him back to around the third. But I think he did land in a good situation. And we'll see how that plays out for him. But yeah, the other guys, man, the greatness never popped out. Let me tell you, the greatness never popped out, man. It flashed, but greatness is consistent. It's not, oh, you made a play. Nah, it's every time they line up, you are a problem. And he took plays off, you know. And it's evident in our record. If these guys was great, you know, we would have won at least 9 games. Despite having, you know, a turnover-prone quarterback, these guys would have made up some of that difference, but it didn't go that way. So, you know, Mario's doing his thing to continue to improve this roster. You know, look at it however you want to. You know, we went and signed a great class last year. There's a lot of great youth on the team. But we did have to get a little bit older. So, you know, we suffered some injuries in the running back room. And then we had a couple of transfers. You had, you know, Paris transfer out. And then you had Citizen transfer out. So that left us depleted. And then you're also dealing with the injury to what's 22 name? I come drawing blank.
22. We're talking Mark Fletcher.
Fletcher. So yeah, you got the injury to Fletcher. So we do what we gotta do. You know, some people the whispers is all, you know, y'all talk about Florida State and how they went in the portal and, you know, none of the young guys play. But we went one of the top teams in the nation last year for freshman snaps. That's a necessity. You want to be great, you're not going to continue to be in that conversation. You got to be older, man. You got to be older in general. There's going to always be a freshman here or there that stands head and shoulders above everybody. But bottom line is you can't depend on all freshmen to get where you want to be. That's just not championship-level football. It's just not what it's going to be. So, you know, we've been going into the portal supplement. And so far, so good. You know, it's the same thing we did last year. And, you know, those guys came in and supplemented well with Cohen and Lee, you know, helped shore that offensive line. getting those, you know, helping us out big time there. Davis, you know, helped showing up the secondary. We still play the young guys. So the narrative that's trying to be spun now is that we're going to turn into, you know, what Florida State did and not play these young guys. I don't believe that to be true. I don't see it. It hasn't been proven yet. And, you know, like I said, we're trying to do something now. We're trying to shake this thing up now with this schedule and with Cam Ward. It's an opportunity to really catapult the program. So, you know, Mario doing what he got to do. We went out and just got a commitment from Damian Martinez, one of the best running backs in the portal out of Oregon State. 1,000-yard rusher, basically was said to be the offense at Oregon State, despite the former five-star quarterback there, DJ Ukulele. You know, I give up on bro, man. No offense, no disrespect. That's just my easiest way to get it out. Pause. So, yeah. Great pickup there. What do you think, B-Rock?
Oh, man, I love it. Woo! I love the Martinez pickup, man. We got a bona fide one. He's going to get 15, 20 carries a game. That's what we need. He's going to do his thing, man. We might have our first 1,000-yard rusher since, what, Duke Johnson?
No, man.
It's been a minute. Cam Harris? No.
Yeah, Yerby did it, and Mark Walton ran for
the I think Walton did it, yeah.
Then Mark Walton did the next year. So, yeah,
Walton.
And Travis
yeah, like 997. But I think he gonna put up some numbers, man. And with the behind offensive line, I think this is Mario vision. This is he got his running back. Fletcher was his guy, but this guy's a bit more proven. And I think that he's gonna do some big things, man. I'm real happy about this. August 31st can't come soon enough.
And then, you know, like I said, Fletcher banged up. I mean, you're talking about a foot, you know. Feet can be very tricky, especially in the game of football. What do you think about the narrative, though? You know, what's your take on it? Do you think we might be going to a portal a little too frequently?
Look at the positions that we're going to the portal for. These are guys that Mario really recruited good at the position. Some are either too young, or it's the depth issue. Like, you can't just say every year you're going to try it out true freshmen. Every year. I mean, come on. Let's be right. And we've been had a pretty not so good history of running back. So it's like, yeah, let's go get a seasoned vet who played a full season before.
Right. Right. Injury ball been beating us up a little bit, though.
Yeah, we run the ball, and I know this guy, we can give him 200 carries, and he's going to be good. You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool with that. The linebacker thing, that's the one I kind of like.
I'm a little iffy, yeah. Because I think we've been hearing so many good things about the young linebackers.
Yeah.
But Alderman is a damn good linebacker.
But my thing is, I think
that's more because D. Nicholas coached him. So it makes more sense to bring in somebody he know he coached before, but
I was gonna say the same thing, right? That D Nick, that's his guy. You know what I'm saying? Just like he brought in Cloyd. Cloyd was his guy. So you know he at least bringing in one of his guys, which I think that Alderman, he is gonna raise the room. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna help. I mean, we're gonna be in two linebacker sets, but I think, you know, we go to three linebacker sets, we have another guy that's proven that can be out there with Wesley and with Kiko instead of try to push, you know what I'm saying, like Bobby out there or any one of those guys who still is, they're a little bit green, but, you know, hey, we got somebody who's a bona fide starter and, you know, I like it, you know.
I think Alderman come and take Wesley's spot. I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to have Kiko and Alderman. I ain't mad at. It's just like I said, and what does that say about, you know, that particular narrative? Like, I don't – if he does that, I don't know if Wesley sticks around, but
it'd be like last year. Remember when he brought in KJ Cloud? KJ Cloud was most likely that third guy coming off the bench. And when KJ Cloud was in, it was strictly for two reasons: either the cover, the guy out the backfield, or the blitz. So
we'll see. I think Alderman is a better player than Cloyd. I think.
I mean,
I think with the questionable, like with Wesley has been a little bit up, a little bit down, not bad, not terrible. I think Alderman take that spot, but it may just be for a year because he's got 2 years left. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. So I think he coming in trying to be on a team that he think going to do some, you know, really make some noise this year and go ahead and get drafted. I think that's his idea. I mean, he's a little bit of an undersized guy as well. So, you know, his ceiling is going to be probably capped off unless he go absolutely crazy. So he may be looking for his one and done as well. But I think it's going to end up being Miley Noah and Alderman. And I think both of those guys go get drafted after this year and move on. And then you'll have your young guys. And I think we won't be looking next year for any supplement in the linebacker room. I think we'll go strictly with all our young guys. And by then, they'll have a whole another season of some real game time action, another year putting on some weight and watching film. So I think that would kind of be the program, I would imagine. And then you probably could pencil in the Saints for the season after as a starter, and then it'll be – unless he just gets beat out. So we'll see. And then we'll see if it's a transfer thing.
Me personally, I think the Saints still gonna be him. It'll be him and Kiko.
Think it's him and Kiko. All right, we're gonna see. We got fall ball.
Add that third linebacker. That's when you'll get Alderman in when they do the 3-3-5 stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Saint and Alderman were both. They both could blitz good because Saint was a good blitzer for us when he was in the game last year. So it'll just be that. But yeah, I'm with you. I definitely don't think after this year we look at Porter for linebackers because we recruit.
No, I think there's a stopgap, just an insurance plus raise the floor of the room. And then yeah, next year I don't think that'll be something we'll look at all. And so yeah, we got those two guys in. I think definitely needed Martinez. Love the Alderman pickup. He's a damn good player. So, you know, you just made the room better, period. So I got no issue with that. And if, you know, some young guys run, that's the nature of the game. It is what it is. Some young guys going to run because it's always somebody else coming up right on your heels. And, you know, linebacker, especially in today's game with the speed and that you need these guys to possess, you know, you only running with two most of the time now. So yeah, it slims up the chances to get on the field. So these guys you'll see some guys transfer out. Nature of the beast is what it is, but you know, we've been doing well as far as recruiting. So I think that'll be I don't think it'll hurt us ultimately. I think you'll still have a good room. And then we got, Sam Brown is on his visit. I think he should be wrapping up today. Wide receiver, played at Houston, played with Shannon Dawson. Had a good productive year last year, even though, you know, I was kind of told the quarterback playing Houston wasn't that great. But bro still was able to put up, I believe, 800 and four touchdowns, I want to say. So, you know, I mentioned before, he's a 6'2 guy, working out with Ward. I said it last week. I think he comes in. And then, you know, again, in today's game, I think you want to be four wide receivers and four cornerback deep. So I think he comes in, immediately pushes Horton and George. And Jacoby George, which just makes us that much more dangerous and presents the opportunity for us to be that much more multiple When you really add in one more true threat out there that's already proven, you know, proven production, that makes us that much more dynamic. So he hasn't announced anything yet. I think we might be his last visit. He got another one coming after this one?
Nah, he's supposed to be narrowing things down after this week, which is, I mean, it could come at any moment right now. We're recording.
Yeah, we're recording early. We're recording at 2:30 right now.
It could come at any it's supposed to be a good day for us on Sunday. We got one yesterday with Martinez. We got one today with
Alderman.
You know what I'm saying? So it said we're supposed to be, you know, pulling up the Wendy's and asking for a 4-for-4. You know,
okay. All right, 4-for-4. Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Tomorrow.
And then tomorrow some big boys come in.
Yeah, the big D tackle combo. You know, these some big guys, bro. Again, I think you're looking at what you want your D-line to look like, especially in the trenches. These are the physical prototypes you want. And we had one with Leonard Taylor, but we only had one. We're trying to get a little bit more of that, be the general look across the front. And again, we got to give some of these young guys time to develop. Like, we think we got one for sure that'll fit that prototype in Scott. But again, true freshman, not even on campus yet. You know, will he get in rotationally this year? I'd imagine so. But we, again, you don't want to lean on him at defensive tackle. You want some grown men up there. And that D-tackle combo, that's supposed to be, that'll be on the way, is, yeah, some grown-ass men. You're talking 3+, you know, a little north of 3, north of 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", type, you know, physical dudes. So that's just what you need to look at the end of the day. Like, if you want to have a championship-level team, the trenches got to look a certain way. And it looked like them dudes. Miami's, you know, obviously trying to sell them on a reunion to be able to come back and play alongside each other again. And the play.
And let's just be realistic about it. Last week I said Miami got big boy money to play with. And this week we showing everybody we got big boy money to play with. Poxy, man. Y'all told me once I get my money right, I'm ready for war.
Right, there you go.
Hey, my thing is, my thing with them D tackles, man. Yeah, that's definitely gonna be a bidding war for one of them at least. You know, I think we'll land one. If we land both, yeah, man. Anything less than the ACC championship, man, might be uncivilized, my guy. Because
and the names. I'm sorry, we ain't saying them boys' names yet. We talking about Derek Harmon.
Simeon Barrow.
Those are the two guys we're talking about.
Those two, man. Look, I'm with you. If we don't go to the AC Championship, man, it's now really start. It's really time to start questioning.
Major failure.
Yeah.
Major failure. You know, it's just that's what you're doing it for, and that's the idea. To inject that type of energy to then stack another top class that I know everybody say don't matter. I don't know how y'all think you play football and win football at a high level with not the best players. But if you go back and look through history, it's always been done that way. The only difference in today and back, like in the early Canes success was, evaluation was different back then because you didn't have the ease of the internet to make national recruiting that much easier. So you would get a lot of guys in South Florida that might go overlooked back in the day because you didn't have the internet to just pull up clips and watch games, stuff like that. So, but I guarantee you, even though we didn't have those number one classes when we was winning, we had number one class. It just wasn't ranked that. it wasn't ranked at that time because you didn't have, you know, you guys didn't know about some of these guys. If you're going to get this done, you're going to have the top classes. Georgia done it. Bama done it. Like, I don't know what people keep talking about. Like, that don't matter.
In, year out. It's not like they get one class and then, oh, well, no. Right. Every damn year.
They don't fall out the top five. Probably not out the top three. So how you would say that doesn't matter is absolutely ludicrous and is a concept because the blueprint has shown to win a national title, you must have top-ranked classes.
Look, I'm not going to mention the team. It's a certain team in a certain county. When they won in their last national championship, guess what? They recruited top two every year. Yeah. But all of a sudden now, they don't need to recruit top class. Okay. Yeah, that's why y'all like
right. Throw that out the window.
But let them create whatever narrative they want to create. Let them, however, man. I don't even care. Like,
well, you got people switch up fan base with that. Man, our own fan base on that energy, and I'm like, y'all just not being realistic, bro. Like, we keep trying to quick fix. Quick fix ain't getting it done. We're looking for a total overhaul. We talking about total overhaul, bro. Oh, you know what we did, Skip? I know X ain't want to talk about it. How you feel the Bills did real quick? Y'all took Coleman, first pick in the second round.
Yeah, so I was doing my little trolling, like, oh, man, I ain't want him. I mean, of course, because he's a Florida State player. But at the same time, I like what they did. I like Keon for what we're trying to do, man. Big physical receiver. He gonna go get it, you know. I ain't gonna worry about him really dropping those jump balls, and you know I ain't really got too much worry about that because he got a good hand. You know he can do his thing. No, he's not 4.3, 4.4. Supposedly they went and they worked him out, and he got like they had him like in a 4.5 range, which is good. Which is, you know, at 6.4, what 210, 220, whatever it is. I don't have an issue with that. So, I mean, we filled all our needs. You know, we needed a wide receiver. We got it. We needed a safety. We got arguably, well, for what we're trying to do, the best safety in the draft from Utah, Cole Bishop. He had UF in hell when he played against them. I like what he did. He runs like a 4.43, you know, real good. You know, he's against tight ends. He got real good cover skills. You know what I'm saying? I like him. We took the defensive tackle third from Duke, Dwayne Carter, who – I don't even want to reminisce, but he put us in a blender. he was keying Jalen Knight and fumbling that ball, and they, you know, they end up going up and scoring. We hit, you know, I like what we did. We got the running back from Kentucky, Ray Davis, who again put Florida in a blender. That was his highlight. That was like his whole highlight was mostly just the Florida game. Like, oh my god!
Did you see most of the people was getting drafted?
Bro,
all man highlights with the Gators on it.
Boy, but y'all expect me to believe that y'all significantly better when y'all return to that same defense. Man, get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, y'all can say what you want to, man. And I know how it is because I done seen it even on, like, the ACC commercials, but we was on all the wrong sides of them highlights, man. You see a USC running back just blitzing down the field like, oh, look who's in the background, orange and white. Yeah, Florida, y'all took a whipping on draft day, bro. They only got one player drafted, right?
Yep, Pearsall.
My Niners took Pearsall. A lot of people thought it was kind of a reach. I saw a lot of mocks that had him in the first round. I had him as high as the Eagles, actually, at like 20-something, like 21st or 22nd, something like that, whatever they went. I like him. The kid productive, period. He didn't have, you know, the greatest quarterback play, you know, Richardson the year before. Mertz turned out to be a pretty good quarterback for him this last year. Tough, go up and get it. And, you know, we're going to move on from one hour wide receiver. So, I'd rather IU be, but some people saying it's going to be Debo. You know, business is business. So, they're trying to look to replace him with that. So, we'll see if he turns out. I'll be honest, I'm not big on Florida wide receivers at the next level. They don't really tend to pan out. They do pretty good. I give them the trenches. The trenches, they do all right. Even some linebackers, but yeah, they wide receivers usually total garbage once they get to the next level. So we'll see.
And what they known for in the NFL, what they known for in college, be garbage too. DBs.
Yeah.
Pooted out.
Yeah, they get the next level, they up out of there. Then we took Renardo Green, Florida State cornerback. I saw the work he did against Neighbors. We definitely needed a corner. So I'm happy with that one.
I saw the work he did against Jacoby George.
George cooked him up.
What?
Hey, everybody got a guy. Even Revis used to get done up by Stevie Williams. I never forget that. As good as Revis was, bro, Steve Williams get cuz to work. So we'll see. Then we went O-line. Not familiar with cuz, you know, he O-line. Dominic Puny out of Kansas. We did need some more O-line depth. Malik Mustafa was a safety we took out of Wake Forest. I like him. I mean, he's a physical guy. I just thought we needed more of a ball hawk back end type guy. More of a cam type guy is what I thought we honestly needed there to supplement. Then we got running back from Louisville, Isaac Guerrero. Guerrero.
I like him. I like him.
Yeah. Definitely needs running back depth. So wasn't mad at that. And then we went back to the wide receiver spot, Jacob Cowan out of Arizona. So we took two, you know, to try to replace one. Hopefully that works out some kind of way. And wrapped up with Jared Kingston out of USC. And another O-line. So, yeah, we needed some O-line depth help. You know, we may look free agency to shore it up a little bit more. Overall, I thought we did okay. You know, what we had, I mean, we had, seven picks total? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. 7 picks total. Thought they did a pretty good job. I've been one of Lynch's biggest critics on draft day, and then he made me eat my words mostly. So I don't say too much about Lynch and the work he do on draft day no more. I'm like, nope. Guy know what he's doing. I'm shutting the hell up. And I just see who make me look dumb.
I'm just jealous for both of y'all, man. Y'all got people in the front office and own y'all team that cares about football and still stuck, man, with this guy.
Your owner's still your GM, man.
Man, I don't know what he is. He might be trying to play quarterback this year for us.
Man, you know, Jerry don't be doing that bad as a GM. I don't think he do that bad.
Well, what it is like, he comes out and say, okay, we had a pretty decent team from last year. We did lose some players. And it's like, okay, well, you got to replace these players, Jerry. You can't keep saying, okay, well, we're going to draft. Jerry, but you're not drafting players who can replace them right now. What are you doing? You saying we right there, and then we're going to lose certain players. Jerry, so you got to either get free agents who want to play right away, or you're going to draft players who want to play right away. Jerry, what are you doing?
I don't know why he didn't get no running back when you got some good. I mean, I thought that he probably would try to get Trey Benson.
Listen, you know, that's the one thing because I hope we go get Trey Benson because that's the one guy I said he was good. We didn't do that. I'm like, okay, now we finna sign back Zeke Elliott.
Oh my god,
y'all about to resign Zeke Elliott?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Hell yeah, no. Bro. They about to resign Zeke. They about to resign Zeke.
No.
Bro.
Yeah. But you know what? I think the Cowboys in general still got a good core. They're going to field a pretty good team. If I'm X, I'm frustrated too, though, because like you get tired of being pretty good and not jumping over that hump. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about my Niners. People go, you know, y'all won the Super Bowl. I'm like, bro, it ain't about going, bro. It's about winning. I'm telling you, I'm tired of being real good, but not great. Like, that's what I'm saying, bro. I'm about greatness. good. It's cool. Yeah, I know we a good team. We gonna get in most teams any day, any Sunday they line it up. Probably gonna be hell to pay. But it don't matter if you don't get that ring.
Man,
don't you mute it.
Anyway. I forgot what it slogan is. It ain't nothing without the ring, man.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring.
That's crazy. Like, 14-2, 14-3,
right? And then you out. Like,
man, what are we talking about? Like,
yeah, you could have saved me all the hype if we were going. If we was just going to do that, you know. And then what bothers me is we had good chances against Kansas City both times. And don't get me, see, and that's what I'm talking about. That's greatness. Greatness is Patrick Mahomes coming through every time. We had our chance to beat that team both times we played them in the Super Bowl, man. And I feel like we got out-coached. You know, last year, the Greenlaw injury hurt a lot. That was the other thing I thought we might should have addressed was linebacker, some depth there. Because the minute we lost Greenlaw, who was one of these fourth through seventh round guys, yeah, my man got picked on, man. Who, I don't even remember his name. He probably ain't with us no more. They went 7-for-7 on bro. You know, they just went to work. So, you know, that made a big difference in the game. That, and we didn't run it. So being good and right there is cool, but you get tired of that shit. You get tired of that. Because it's just like, none of that shit gonna matter when we talk about how good we was, but we ain't quite that, you know what? That's Florida State in the 90s. Real good teams that didn't get it done. And I just don't want to be a part of that. It gets old. I want it all. That's just who I am. I'm not one of these people that brag about my team that made the playoffs 12 years in a row. The Steelers keep making the playoffs. Steelers always in the playoffs. What is worse? Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but they can't show us.
But you go home. But you go home. So who cares? I'm a greatness guy. Good is cool. We want to go from, like, with Miami right now, I want to go from mediocre to good, and then good to great. I don't want to stay at good. I mean, that's how I look at, like, Ohio State. Ohio State always there. They always running through shit over there until recently Michigan been busting their ass. But they weren't getting the ring. To me, it's like that. Like, yeah, you a good team. I'm not denying you. Yeah, you beat us, of course. But when it come down to getting that ring, they kind of scares, bro. And you taking too much talent from down here to not, you know, get that ring. So that's just my two cents on it. Anyways, I don't think we got nothing else, man. It's kind of, you know, quiet week. We may finish up by the time we get this recording out. It may be some more news. If things go well with the rest of this recruiting weekend, maybe we get Sam Brown. Maybe we get
Gil already locked in. They just ain't. I think somebody reported that is. He's likely to commit to Miami. One of the on three guys they put out.
Oh, Deani. Okay, that's right. Deani Hill. Yeah, that was the cornerback out of Marshall, been coached slash recruited by
Guidry
and
Chevis Jackson.
Chevis, yeah, Chevis Jackson. Yeah. So long rangy kid, give us some reach out there in the secondary. Adds a little size. We definitely need that third corner, third slash fourth, you know, do some spot work. You know, he works the outside as it is. So, yeah. Like I say, today's game, you got to be four corners deep. So he definitely comes in and gives us that third or fourth corner we need. So if we're able to secure his signature, that'll be big. It'll go a long way. And then, yeah, this year recruiting, man, we got to beef up that secondary. Got to come in with some corners and safeties this cycle around.
We definitely beefing up that secondary, man. I think we'll have – I'm not ready to say we'll have the top secondary recruiting class. We're going to be up to the top five, top three, around something like that. Yeah, it's going to be with some top dogs, like some real –
Every goal they set, they met. So until otherwise – That's why I bet best state class in the state last year. People was laughing at me. I'ma always believe you until you show me otherwise. So I've been showing that when they wanted the best D-line class, statistically, we signed the best D-line class.
You got it. Best offensive line class.
This focus, we got the best offensive line class. So this year's focus will be the secondary. I'm going to just believe it until I see otherwise.
And to be honest, it's really the focus is really to just have an overall top class. I think, man, Mario wants to get the best class because he wants the best players.
That's how you win.
That's how you win.
Don't let none of these people tell you different. I heard Ahmad Richards talk about it. I was in one of the spaces for a little bit. And, you know, he made the point that I've been telling people for years. He's like, Georgia make mistakes just like we do. It's just they got more depth and better players. So it gets covered up. So it still always comes down to never be fooled, ladies and gentlemen, the Jimmys and Joes. It's not the X's and O's. Mario does not call our offense. Mario does not call our defense. He is the CEO. He coaches the O-line. His job is to have a culture set in place and to get good players. And that's what he's working on and doing right now. So to think that we is not paramount to continue to stack big-time ball players is crazy. They're going to cover your mistakes. I'm telling you, these coaches are limited. Kirby Smart is a good coach, but
you gotta have good players. You don't have
good players. You gotta have the players. I guarantee you, Kirby will tell you, oh, yeah, I fucked up on this call. Luckily, I had such and such to cover my ass. That's how it goes. It's no coach is calling these things perfectly. None of them. They got the players that erase mistakes.
Yeah.
We got to get to that point where you got players that erase mistakes and make it look easy. They're going to make it look easy and make you look great. Even when you could go to the film room and say, yeah, I blew that one. That was a bad call.
Rich Yellow said it. He said it best. When he had Ed Reed, he was like, man, I'll call a play. And instantly Ed Reed would be like, well, coach, yeah, this is the play you called, but I see something different on the field. And then Ed Reed go make a play, and he'd be like, yeah, well, yeah. They go get it. But Ed is out there on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He's seeing something different, and he's going to make the play, too. So, yeah, what it is. Don't be fooled. Remain patient. You've been patient for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? What's a few more? You're going to be right back, just like me. So, you might as well cool your jets, relax. You're going to pull up. You're going to pull up to the TV or the game. And you're going to continue to buy the Hurricanes merch and put it on your back and rep the team. Because that's just in you. Because if you listen to this, you definitely that same type. So,
yeah. I tell you what, man. We finna start putting all our focus to August 31st. That little reptile team up there. And
oh, man.
Hillbillyville. Like, yeah, we coming. Coming, man. Yeah. We're going to put all our focus to the day. We're going to lead the other team up, wherever they at. Lead them alone until it's time for us to get to them.
Yeah. I don't even think I'm getting Airbnb for that one, man. I'm in and out.
Step in
and step out, man.
I got some family coming, so they going to come. We're going to pull up on Friday, but we leave it Sunday. Like, we're going to leave from the game Saturday, go back to the Airbnb, and we gone in the morning.
Out of there. I hear you. All right, man. We're going to get up out of here. We should be back for you next week, man. We try and get back to our regular schedule recording, you know, much as possible. You know, we got conflicts, and it's off season, but we definitely missed people and putting the product out there. So we're going to try to get back to you guys weekly again. We'll definitely be back weekly once the season hits, for sure. There won't be no question about that. But as news continues to warrant, you know, us speaking on it, we're going to speak on it, man. Appreciate y'all tapping in. We up out of here. Peace.
Peace, peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.